Regarding the citta, the mind, it is the knowing, conscious element that doesn't break apart and decay, though it does arise and cease. There is arising and ceasing. When one mind moment ceases, it conditions the next mind moment to arise, though it isn't the original mind. There is arising and ceasing again and again. It is the knowing element that receives and is conscious of sense objects. If one is reborn in the human realm, one enters a mother's womb and is born as a human being. If through the bad results of karma that are low or lacking morality, one may be born in the womb of a dog, a pig, a cow, or various pets. If one clings strongly to pets, the mind becomes bound. Even if it is metta, loving kindness, for the pet, the mind still clings. One has worry and concern, and one may be reborn in the womb of a dog or a cat. This is something to be careful about. Even a virtuous monk who had practiced for a long time, whose elder sister wove a very beautiful new robe to offer him, and he became attached to that robe, thinking, "Tomorrow I'll get to wear this new robe." But a person's life is uncertain, while death is certain. We must die. The ultimate certainty of life is death. Life is uncertain, death is certain. And at that time, the monk became careless and didn't reflect on death, but delighted in that robe. And he died and was reborn as a tiny creature, a louse, living right there in that robe. Usually it is customary that when a monk passes away, his 8 basic requisites, the alms bowl, robe, outer robe, and other items, are distributed among the Sangha. But when they came to divide up that robe, the louse cried out, as if to say, "Don't take it yet," for the robe was still mine, belonging to the monk reborn as that louse. Out of great compassion, the Buddha pitied that louse. If the robe were divided then, its mind would become distressed, and its state of mind would fall even lower. So the Buddha said, "Wait first, wait for 7 days, then divide this robe." After 7 days, the louse died. The wholesome qualities accumulated when he had been a meditating monk ripened. He was reborn in a good state as a deva, a celestial being. Therefore, we must be most careful with the mind, especially when we're about to leave this world. Especially people who often indulge in entertainment and gambling, such as cockfighting. There is a story of a man who loved cockfighting, and his fighting rooster he called Ga Long, whom he loved so much. The rooster would always win in every ring. His mind loved and was very attached to the rooster, and when Ga Long died, his mind remained deeply attached to it. He loved the sport of cockfighting. Day after day he lived for his roosters, raising them, tending the coops, bathing them, wiping them down. He loved them dearly. And when he fell ill, he would strike his hand down on the table or bed until it bled, and still would not stop. He kept striking it like that. In his mind, through the mind door, he was watching a cockfight, cheering the fighting roosters. His hand kept hitting hard things, and so it bled. No matter how they tried to stop him, he would not listen, because the mind was in the time of a kamma nimitta, a sign of karma, which had appeared due to his attachment. In such a case, after death one goes to an unfavorable realm or birth, to a lower realm than humans, which can be an animal, or a hungry ghost, or an asura demon, or if the karma is heavy, then one can fall into the hell realms. So we must examine which unwholesome sense objects harms our minds. If our minds cling to those bad sense objects or moods, then that becomes demerit or bad karma. Then we should let such objects in as little as possible and try to receive wholesome sense objects and moods of merit and virtue a lot. Then we will find happiness. Though the mind does indeed arise and cease throughout each day, we must regularly accumulate merit and wholesome qualities so they are easy to recollect. And we must take utmost care of the final mind that will lead on to the next birth. This is important, because if we go to a bad destination, we may be stuck. Like if at death one clings to one's house, one may be stuck in that very house, unable to go anywhere. There's a story of once when I went on Tudong to Khao Yai National Park in the province of Nakhon Ratchasima. There were staff quarters there called the TV House. It turned out the employee's father had lived there and passed away, and his mind was still lingering there. Monks went to stay and practice meditation in the forest and used that house as temporary shelter when it rained. They could keep their requisites dry in that house. The monks would see an old man who was wearing white, because the deceased had habitually worn white. The daughter asked for the monks to spread metta, loving kindness, for her father. She invited monks to make merit and dedicate it to him, because her father was still there. Groups of monks came one after another to radiate loving kindness, until one day that spirit was finally able to be reborn. Had the daughter not invited the monks, or had the monks not come, or not radiated loving kindness, the mind would have remained there a long time, lost there, unable to go anywhere. So after death, it is hard and difficult to remedy. Even if it is something meritorious, it can still be like this. There was someone who was building a stupa, a chedi, and the founder of the Thai forest tradition, Venerable Ajahn Mun, saw, I can't remember if it was a man or a woman, but they were still attached to wanting to build the stupa that was as yet incomplete. They were lingering on in that area because of the worry. So even regarding merit, it is important not to be worried. So the monks radiated loving kindness and instructed that person not to cling on, otherwise the mind would keep circling around it like that. And we must be careful about this as well, because we could end up being reborn like that, instead of being reborn to enjoy the fruits of the good that we have done. This is why there is a tradition of making merit for the ancestors. In Thailand it is called Sat Thai, or the Ghost Festival, which falls on the 15th waning day of the 10th lunar month each year. The names differ by the region in Thailand. In the south it is Bun Dern Sip, the 10th month merit making, or Ching Pret, the merit sought after by the hungry ghosts, and in the central region called Sat Thai. In Isan, the northeast of Thailand, it is called Khao Pradap Din, or placing rice upon the ground. When I first stayed in the northeast of Thailand, I didn't know what it was about. Hey, what kind of merit making is this? A lot of people came to offer food on that day at Wat Nong Papong. They said they were making merit called Khao Pradap Din. I had never heard of that before, and when I asked them, they said they were in fact making merit for their departed. which was the same as Sat Thai from the district I was from. In the north it is called Dan Koi Salak, and so on. Amongst Chinese people, there is also Qingming Day. There are different names, but the same purpose, which is to make merit and dedicate it to departed ancestors. We have probably heard the story of King Bimbisara, who made merit and did not dedicate it to his ancestors, who had been hungry ghosts since a past Buddha's dispensation. The hungry ghost cried out throughout the palace, and King Bimbisara awoke, thinking some calamity was about to befall him. When he went to ask the Buddha said there was nothing wrong. There was no danger to his royal wealth or throne. It was about those hungry ghosts who were his relatives and who had waited a very long time for merit from him. Since the time of previous Buddhas, they had not received that merit. But the relatives had earlier received the compassion of a past Buddha who foretold that they had to wait first for their relative who would be King Bimbisara in the dispensation of the Samana Gotama. Then they, as hungry ghosts, would receive merit. Hence it can be called Bun Qing Bread, the merit that is sought after by the hungry ghosts. So we also make merit in accordance with tradition when the time arrives. On the 15th waning day, we perform the customary merit making. When we have loved ones and those we respect, we wish to remain together for a long time. Being born, we want to stay for a long time. We don't want to have anyone separated from us. This is precisely what prompted the Buddha to be, who would become the fully awakened Buddha, to set out in search of the Satchadhamma, the truth. For the Buddha to be had completeness in all aspects. So why should there be separation? He had a perfect body, loved ones complete, had Princess Yashodhara, and he was going to inherit the royal throne. The Brahmins even predicted he would be a great wheel-turning monarch. But he saw that these ties and concerns are themselves suffering. When Prince Rahula was born, Rahulo meaning a fetter, he recognized a fetter had arisen. It was suffering to know that one day he would have to part from what he had now. He saw suffering, even the slightest amount, but in his heart it loomed large. This is the mark of one with wisdom. Those without wisdom do not see it. No matter how great the suffering, they just don't see it. The Buddha's mind was exquisitely refined. Thus he sought the way beyond suffering. Accordingly, there are many people suffering greatly today who see no way out. Many seek the wrong way out. There are those who even destroy their own life, thinking that leaving this world will end the suffering. But suffering lies in the mind, not the body. The body is a tool of the mind. We merely take it to be suffering. If the body is damaged and its systems fail, the resident mind becomes disturbed. When the chemicals are not in balance, there can be heavy depression. And the mind receives these sense objects and moods too. Hence, it is dangerous. If one departs by destroying one's life, the mind is defiled. Then it becomes hard and difficult to find the way to a new, wholesome birth. Some people think simply and short-sightedly, I should just die, and the suffering in the present will end. But one only meets suffering in another world, the world of the mind, so it doesn't end like that. Therefore, we must be careful and train the mind. A well-trained mind naturally brings one happiness. Therefore, we must also reflect. Lay people must reflect as well. We may live every day in a beautiful house, and it's normal that we like it like that. But we must be careful, because after death we may well remain in that house. So please set your hearts on meditation and regularly make merit and goodness. Make merit a habit that's easy to recollect. We chant, meditate, practice, listen to Dhamma, and keep the precepts. This is even better. These are deposits stored up in our hearts. Yet we must guard the very last mind. Don't get angry at anyone or bear grudges. When the time comes to go, we must lay everything down so that the heart is not obstructed or offended by anything. At that time, we need not even rush to make merit or give. Otherwise, if something goes against what we want, the mind may become lowered again. Instead, quietly meditate and practice within our own minds, as you have been practicing in the present. Merit will bring us happiness in this life and the next. May you grow in blessings.